You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And welcome into another post-game edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Stars unfortunately fall in game one of these playoffs, 4-3 at the American Airlines Center. And we're very pleased to have Sean Shapiro on this post-game. And very nice of Sean to join us tonight. How are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good, man. I mean, obviously, it's be more fun if we were talking about a victory in game one for Dallas, but all things considered, life is good. We have to watch some good hockey tonight, and so things are good.
Absolutely. You know, it's so interesting. I've been plugging you for the last couple of days, and probably, like, you know, something simple you said that really resonated, and I wanted to start with that. And I'm not going to get on a soapbox, but when you said the Eastern Conference needs to make adjustments, and yet here we are with Boston and Toronto starting 11 minutes past the scheduled puck drop. And like, then it's like, you know, it's going to happen. So
yeah,
you're right. It's just one of those things. Hey, I wanted to start with, like, very simple, but, you know, the first goal by Vegas and just the original matchup, that putting that fourth line out there against Vegas's fourth line. What did you think about that to start the game?
So I didn't mind it from a, so let me rephrase this. Okay. I didn't mind the way Dallas going out and trusting them, but I would have liked to see, it's one of those decisions where I would have liked to see a top line go out there, just kind of just to go out, just like if when the other team goes out and puts out their fourth line. And here's the thing about Vegas. Vegas starts its fourth line the opening period of every single game. That is just what they do. That is Bruce Cassidy's MO. He is they may only play 10, 11 minutes that night, but they start every single period. It is part of the MO of they're part of the build and the identity of the Vegas Golden Knights. You're going out against them. And so I kind of get the slight, I kind of get Pete DeBoer being like, no, I'm going to send out my line that can grind down these guys. Like I kind of get the one aspect of it where if someone sends out their bully, you send out your bully too. And then you see what happens. So I don't mind it from that perspective. Now, I would have preferred you go and start it. I would have much preferred you start the Ben Johnston Stankoven line. And now maybe you were overly protecting Logan Stankoven off the opening faceoff in his first career playoff game. I don't know. But to me, I can see Pete DeBoer's logic. But going forward, if you know that's what Vegas is going to do, I want to start a line out there who's like, okay, let's, okay, if you're going to do that, let us win that shift. So I think that. And we should also, I want to put a pin in this because I want to talk about it in a little bit before the end. So remind you, but I also want to talk about that fourth line in general, because I think it's, and it's not the reason Dallas won or lost this game. Let's be clear on that. But I do want to talk about that fourth line in general later and what we should be doing with Evgeny Dadonov right now. So we will, I want to talk about that later in the show, but let's stay on track first here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I guess the other thing, in adrenaline's running high, but doesn't Sam Steele need to keep that stick down in that case and just, you know, be a little bit more careful?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it's a bad penalty at a bad time, right? You can't do that. Let's call a spade on that, I guess, right?
Yeah. So Stars fans are a buzzing on social media tonight. Obviously a lot of emotion.
Yep.
You know, I know my mentions were up, and I guess let's start with the following, because this is the hot topic and you chimed in as well. Probably letters that Stars fans do not like to hear right now, LTIR, and the effects of that. And I just want you to dive into it as far as, you know, Vegas coming back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I will, I have to give them a lot of credit for guys that hadn't played together for, you know, a long period of time, or some hadn't played at all together. They looked awfully good.
Yeah, so let's talk about the LTIR thing. You cannot like the rule. I have no issue with any Stars fan saying, hey, I don't like the rule. I don't like how this is done. I don't like it. I'm okay with you not liking the rule. I've grown kind of sick and tired of people complaining about it just because Vegas isn't cheating. Vegas isn't doing anything wrong. Vegas is following the CBA rules. The Stars have their own capologist whose job is to research and find every single loophole in the CBA. And Vegas, the fact that Vegas is willing to aggressively pursue it more than any other team, that's the rules of the game. And it's whether you like it or not, that's just the reality. It's like, I'm sure it's just like, this is probably a terrible comparison, but like, it's just like, I'm sure when the 3-point line came in the first time in the NBA, the first year, they're the first team to start shooting three. Someone's like, well, that shouldn't count. Like, well, that's the rule. Right. So that to me is the Vegas LTIR thing, where it's Mark Stone's and like the league researches these injuries, right? That's the thing where it's a lacerated spleen.
Yeah.
The medical history, like it's
doctors. Well, not to mention an appendectomy.
Yes. Yeah. And like doctors aren't making this up. That's right. The other thing where the doctors aren't making this up, and so I get people's frustration. I really get it. I get it. I understand. I understand you're like, well, he wasn't ready for game 82 and he was ready for game one. Well, he was ready for game 82, but you know what? The rules were in place where he didn't have to be ready for game 82. And the whole thing of like when a player is cleared and when a player is healthy, we fudge those rules in hockey all the time anyway. Like it's all the time where how often time do we hear a coach say, well, if he was the playoffs, he'd play. We hear that in game like 45 about Tyler Seguin's ankle injury, right? So, I have no issue with Vegas saying, you know what, if it was the playoffs, he'd play, but so we'll just say that at game 82 as opposed to game 45. But to be clear though, I get the frustration. And when you see this and a team who aggressively, but to me at the end of the, I go back, it's Vegas. They're following the rules and it sucks. It sucks when you get them in the first round, and effectively one of the reasons you got them in the first round is because of the injury to Mark Stone. Like if Mark Stone's healthy all year, Vegas isn't the 8 seed. There's no way, right?
Yeah.
So like if Mark Stone's healthy all year, you're not getting Mark. The only reason you're playing Mark Stone his first game in 26 games is because he was hurt, and otherwise Vegas would have been higher up in the bracket. So my other thing on Stone is, this is a like credit to him to not look nearly as rusty as a guy should look, having missed 26 games, lacerated spleen or not, right? Like there's nothing you can do to manipulate full speed NHL hockey in practice. There's nothing you can do. So I credit to him on that. And then the other thing that I just kind of, my big takeaway on this game, Gavin, and it's kind of the thing that I just kind of want to keep people from turning off the podcast, so I'm going to pivot to this right now, is Dallas was the better team tonight. Like you can't, like if I watch that, you go and watch that game, you couldn't walk out that building, turn off that TV and think Vegas was the better team tonight. Dallas was the better team. They were the better team at 5-on-5. They had more chances. They actually created. Vegas had 15 shots. You think Bruce Cassidy is going home right now, going back to his hotel room right now, happy with how Vegas played? They had 15 shots. They converted twice on the power play. And you know what? Thomas Hurdle is going to be a problem in front of the net this series. We know that. We already knew that. It's even more so. So that's what that happened. And you know, you had a weird bounce on the goal that made it 4-2, which stood up as the game winner. And you have you had a blown coverage play on the Marchessault goal. He comes in, he's skating between four guys. He shouldn't be able to do that. So this is a game Dallas should have won. If I rewatch this game over, like I probably will tomorrow morning, Dallas should win this game. They were the better team. So I know people are going to be sky is falling more so because of who they're playing, right? If you look like last year, you lose game one to Minnesota and you're like, they're still going to win this series in six. It's not a big deal. And that's how you think about it. Cause it's Minnesota. I think it's going to be hard for Stars fans to tell themselves that, but you should think about it that way. This is a wild card team. This is a wild card team that didn't look good. And even though they quote unquote played Vegas hockey and blocked a lot of shots, Vegas hockey was ugly as heck tonight. Dallas could have won this game 2-0 without Mason Marchment's ridiculously bad goal that Logan Thompson let up. So I came out of this, and every time we kind of talk in a playoff series, it's all about who's going to win 4 out of 7 and everything like that. Now the Stars have to win 4 out of 6. Nothing about tonight's game told me, you know what? The Stars aren't going to get it done. So
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know, one of the things that got a lot of Twitter reaction were people were saying to pull Jake Oettinger. And I just responded on Twitter, for those that want to pull Oettinger, which goal was on him? And this was when it was 3-2. The two great tips are the one-timer point blank in front of the net. He made some big saves in the first as well. This team defensively played right into the hands of Vegas with their early mistakes. So that was kind of, you know, my take. I'm not saying he was the elite Jake Oettinger we've seen lately. But you know, he did make some saves, but I mean, Sean, I think that, you know, it came down to early turnovers, that, you know, kind of,
it's a bad standard for a pull. If you're pulling your goalie there, I'm just going to say that's a bad standard for a pull because, I would have liked to see the save on the Marchessault goal. That's a great chance and the one timer right there. I didn't like how deep he was in the net, but I would have liked to see the save there. And you can say you didn't get the save there, but I don't punish him by pulling him. I say you want to see the save, and so I don't see anything personally with any credence to the outro. I mean, the reality is Logan Thompson made some big stops too. Like he was even with the bad goal that equals out some of them. He made some big stops. And you know what? Credit to Vegas. You got the guy who was your backstop when you won the cup last year on the team, and you decided to go to the other guy. And I know it's in more of a new age of hockey, and you see teams rotating goalies more. Boston, obviously, he's their second goalie of the series tonight. But credit to Vegas being like, okay, we're going to go start Thompson as opposed to Aiden Hill, because I think Aiden Hill's been crap lately. So
yeah.
this was so credit to them on that. So
yeah, I agree. Aiden Hill's given up 16 goals in his last five games.
Yeah.
So you're right about that. And I do think that credit does need to be given to Bruce Cassidy for that move, because, you know, you're telling the guy that allowed you to hoist the cup, you know, you're going to sit down for game one. And that takes a veteran coach to make that move. What do you think Pete DeBoer will be most frustrated with as he goes back and watches this tape and adjustments to be made? Because I mean, I'll just say this, you know, Sean, is I agree with you. I think once the Stars kind of calmed down and got their game going, I thought they looked good and they did put pressure. I personally would like to see a little bit, and as the game wore on, we saw it, but for, you know, the early part, I didn't really see sustained offensive pressure and, you know, tiring out the Vegas forwards and really putting a lot of pressure on the Vegas D men. It was almost like one shot and out of the zone.
Well, that's what the Stars are, right? Like the Stars aren't a build and cycle team.
Yeah.
Like Vegas is a build and cycle team. Dallas is not a build and cycle team. So, the thing that Dallas didn't get to tonight was that second puck, where the Stars are a really good get into the zone, get that quick shot, track down that second puck, or get into the zone, get the chance, and maybe the other team gets the block and you track down that second puck. I don't think the Stars did a good job getting to that second puck, particularly when Vegas blocks shots. The way you beat Vegas a lot of times is you get pucks through and everything like that, but the big thing is with how their defensemen like to front shots and everything like that, the key necessarily is not avoiding getting the shot blocked. Obviously, that's nice if you can avoid the shot block, but the key more so is picking up those second pucks where the puck goes off a guy's shin or it goes off a guy's stick, and then it lands in kind of that mixer slot area. And the Stars typically are a pretty good team at getting to those areas and winning those pucks. And that's something Dallas didn't do well tonight, I don't think. I think there's a couple players who had some moments. Like, I thought Logan Stankoven was great tonight. There was a chance with heat that he almost had in there and everything like that. But that, to me, would be kind of under my message as Pete DeBoer of, this is where we need to be getting to those second pucks, because we saw you can beat Logan Thompson. You could beat Logan Thompson with the clean shot tonight. The Marchman, I'm going back and through in my head right now. Obviously, the Marchman goal was a clean shot. The Robertson goal was a clean shot. The Ben goal was a clean shot. All three shots against. Now, the Ben one's a breakaway, so it's a little bit harder to use that. But all three today were shots where there's no change in direction on the puck. The goalie, it was actually set as he could be on all three. So I take a lot of confidence. And if you're scoring the clean ones against Thompson, okay, now you can start getting some of the dirty ones. And that's one of the big ones. The other thing for me, just defensively for the Stars, one of the things they really have to do is they're going to have to find ways to move, kind of create a larger bubble around the net. And I think they're on both of the, I want to make sure I have this right before I say it real quick, on both of the goals, obviously it was Hurdle in front of the net, and it was Lindell on Hurdle. And
yes,
I won on both of them. And so from a Dallas perspective, and Lindell's a strong man, but maybe from a defensive structure, your point is maybe Tanev goes to your front of your net now and moves that bubble, because Lindell got exposed as he can't get Hurdle away from the crease. And so maybe that's another kind of minutia tactical thing. But the other thing is, I tell my team after this, it's a 7-game series. You outplayed them. If we play like that again and they play like that again, we'll win this series. That's the other thing. That's the other key thing too here.
Yeah. I thought, wanted to give a stick tap to the youngsters, Wyatt Johnston and Logan.
Oh, he was good tonight. He was good tonight.
I mean, that stretch pass to Jamie Benn to throw him on the breakaway was really impressive. And then the Stankoven goal, stealing the puck away from, the Stankoven play where he stole the puck from Mark Stone and then threw it over to Jason Robertson was impressive as well.
Yeah, it was both of those plays. Like when you take a look at the kind of play within space and within traffic is really impressive to me. The Johnston one, I screen grabbed it for something I threw up on Chap Shots right after the game, where you see all you I went and circled. You had all five of the Edmonton game on the TV. So that's why I said the word Edmonton. All five of the Vegas players either within his face or around him. And he makes that stretch pass confidently across there. The Stankoven one is one where it's a great play by Stankoven. It's also there's a subtlety to that play that Jason Robertson needs some more credit for in addition to the finish. As they're coming out of the zone, one of the reasons Stankoven is able to track back and win that puck back is because Jason Robertson cuts Mark Stone off at the faceoff dot in the neutral zone and effectively forces Stone back to the middle of the ice. It looks like a very lazy play. Like if you look at Robertson, he's not actually going hard after the puck and everything like that. It looks like a lazy play. It's actually a very smart, slight positioning play where he forces and alters Stone's route. And that slight alteration is the millisecond that allows Logan Stankoven to catch up to Stone, jack the puck away from him, go bound and create the spot. So obviously Robertson's going to get the goal and we're going to talk and people are going to talk all about that. That's going to be the highlight. But to me, that play starts earlier when Jason Robertson basically gets the assist on his own play by just taking the right route to something. Because otherwise Mark Stone just blows right through the neutral zone and Logan Stankoven has no chance to even catch him.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The second power play goal was Mason Marchment going to the box and Pete DeBoer wasn't happy and Mason Marchment wasn't happy. I think it could have not been a penalty and it could have been a penalty. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah. I'm not a big blame the officials one way or the other guy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the times it all evens out. I mean, I've even talked to referees. Sometimes it just evens out naturally anyway, where they'll be like, hey, we've called four on this team so far. Next one's got to be on these guys. That's unfortunately how the game's called. So.
Yeah. They did outshoot Vegas 2-1, but even at times I almost wanted them to shoot more rather than the extra passes specifically early.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Well, let's talk about that fourth line.
Yeah.
And Evgeny Dodonov inserted and Craig Smith out of the lineup.
Yeah, so tell me what you think about this, Gavin, because I'm watching that fourth line tonight, and Dadanov felt out of place, right? Like it was a line with Foxa and Steele, and with Smith, they have a different identity. They have identity that matches, and it's to me, it just doesn't work with Dadanov with that line, and it goes back in my mind. If Dodonov's going to be in the lineup, he's got to be elevated higher. He can't play with that group. It doesn't really do much. And so for me, that's okay. Craig Smith has also shown he can be more effective when he gets 8-9 minutes a night. So
yeah,
I personally would go with the putting Craig Smith back in the lineup for game two on that line. And Dodonov kind of becomes that guy who at some point he's going to come back in, but it's going to be when you have your top six injury. Cause we all know injuries happen. That's the whole thing, right? People know in the playoffs, everyone's playing through something. There's going to be something that happens, and maybe that's his best usage. So it's not with Fox and Steele for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think that, you know, Craig Smith was kind of missing. I also like his size. I did want to ask, because a lot of people will bring it up, just like the Stars were 2-1 on shots, the hits on the night, 55 for Vegas, 29 for Dallas. But that's how Vegas plays, right?
That is how Vegas plays. I mean, they hit. I don't know if they led the league in hits this year or not. I think Nashville might have led the league in hits this year. But they hit everything that moves. That's what they do. They try to take a chunk out of you. And the other thing about hits, Gavin, is you got to not have the puck to get hits, right? So there's a possession perspective, too, that you always have to apply to that, where Vegas, Carolina, there's a bunch of teams that if they were in theory don't use Carolina. It's just Vegas, but like Vegas, if they had the puck more, they wouldn't have as many hits too. That's another key thing to remember here with this.
Yeah. As effective as Mark Stone, you know, certainly was tonight. I had mentioned before the game on 105.3, the Fan, that, you know, the quarterback's back in the lineup in Pietrangelo. And, you know, I think that was a major factor as well.
Yeah, he was, I thought he was okay. Like, he was someone who he comes back in, he helps slot that defense a lot better. You hear coaches talk about getting guys into proper roles. And I think Pietrangelo had a bit of that.
He just has a calmness about him that
he does. There was one play I noticed, though, that was interesting in the third period where I thought it was impressive where Stankoven kind of actually outbodied him. One of the great things about watching Logan Stankoven play, and I've gushed about him quite a bit on this show so far already, but is with his size, he has such a low center of gravity that he uses so effectively, right? Like, it's very, Jim Neal compared him to Pat Verbeek for me, where he's got like this Pat Verbeek, like little ball of hate, like center of gravity. And that throws guys off. Like, you're not used to that. And so, but with Pietrangelo, to get back to him, like, I think he does a good job. He helps slot their lineup more like it should stand, but maybe a calming factor. But I still don't look at this game and be like, well, Vegas was good. So I keep going back to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just some early mistakes, unfortunately. Cost. What'd you think of Thomas Harley's play?
He had probably,
he had the turnover on.
Yeah,
one of the
he had the turnover on one of them. He was, to me, he had a Thomas Harley last year game. It's not the Thomas Harley that he's grown into this year and everything like that. And, that's, the type of game you would have hoped. If it happened last year in the playoffs, it would have been normal. And now we're looking at it with higher standards. And I think that's both a good thing. You have higher standards and a slight frustration that he wasn't better tonight. So,
well, if you listen to Spits and Suds and you listen to our NHL insider, Sean Shapiro, on Friday, he mentioned that he had a beer league game tonight. So
no, I have a beer league game Wednesday. Wednesday.
I was hoping for an effective recap.
Yes.
Stood on my head, you know?
Yes.
you know, just played well, got some nice handshakes after the game. All right, we'll get that report later. So, all right, let's add it up. He's on EP ringside. Chap Shot, you'll have some new stuff out, and you've already put some stuff out. The name of the book to promote is called We Win Here. and with the Texas Stars heading into the playoffs and the Dallas Stars. It's a great time to purchase that book, as well as Sean doing some freelance for Detroit News, for D Magazine. Am I missing anything, sir?
I don't think so. I mean, we're doing a podcast late into the night right now after a playoff hockey game. So I'm, if you're listening to the show, thank you anyway for whatever it's. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Sean. I really appreciate your perspective. As much as I love to come on after these games, it's always great to have people like you breaking it down. So it's much appreciated. And, you know, it's going to be a long one. So, you know, it's an emotional roller coaster, and I'm sure the emotions will be high for the rest of this early morning into tomorrow, and then get excited again for Wednesday. And credit to the Stars fans. They were loud at times tonight, and I give them a lot of credit because we were in the third period and it was in the 11 p.m. hour. So tons of credit to the Stars fans for rocking the barn tonight. All right, my friends. Well, you have a great night, and we will talk to you soon. And thanks once again for joining us.
It's always fun. It's always fun, Gavin.
Absolutely. And that's going to be another edition of Spits and Suds in the Books. We'll have a lot of podcasts this week, so stay tuned as we ride with you through these playoffs right here on 105.3 The Fan. Have a great day, everyone.